Good morning. I want to welcome you this morning to New Harmony Baptist Church. As most of you know, Chad is out this week. He and his family he actually texted me a while ago, and they're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's 56 degrees. So he said it's cold, especially when all of you brought his t-shirts and shorts. So I told him, I said, well, it won't be long till it'll be 96. So just hold on. But they are having a good trip. They left Thursday. Went to Brandon, Mississippi, I believe it was. Spent the night with friends. Left there, went to somewhere in New Orleans, spent the night. The next night with some friends there. He called me yesterday, and they were in Dallas, Texas. And he had Blake at there where JFK was shot, and I think the girls were all at the shops. So they were leaving from there, going to Albuquerque. I think he said it was about a 10-hour drive, so I don't know what time. It's pretty late, I think, when they got there. So, but they're having a good time. And again, we've got Terry here that will be bringing the morning message, and we pray that that you have chosen to worship with us to hear what God has out there for us. And again, if you're visiting with us, we welcome you to New Harmony Baptist Church. And again, I'm thankful for your presence. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this day. Father, we pray now that you would be with us during this song service, during the preaching hour. And our Father, we just ask that you would open our minds and hearts to be receptive to your word, your will this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
Jesus, I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Amen. Let's take time to welcome those around us this morning.
Wait my legs today, 'cause I'm leaving it behind. I'd like to thank each one for the opportunity I have, and I'd like to ask for your prayers during this presentation. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to speak about Jesus, about God, about what He's done on this earth, about how He has blessed His people. Well, let's just have a real short prayer and then we'll get started. Father, thank You for this time that You've given us. I pray, O Lord, that Your will and Your word will be presented in a way that will be effective and in the way that You would have it done. I pray for Your blessing of each person here. Pray that You'll open our hearts and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, it's not the same as it was just a few minutes ago, and it's not the same as it was a few days, a few months, a few years ago. I remember when you could drive down the road and you'd see it everywhere. You'd see it on bumper stickers, billboards, t-shirts, tattoos. You'd see it on old faded church signs. You'd see it spray painted on sides along county roads. What I'm talking about is John 3:16. Don't see it near as much now as you used to. But it still means the same thing. Probably the greatest passage in the Bible. We all love John 3:16. Some think it's just for children. Some think it's too elementary to study and get a greater understanding of. But in John 3:16, we find a beautiful simplicity of the gospel and the glorious depths of the gospel. So what does John 3:16 say? Well, I bet everybody in here has it memorized. If not, pretty close to it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to the cross, shed his blood, and died on the cross. That was the plan from eternity in the beginning. And so that's what he did for his people. It's the greatest biblical verse to many, including scholars and theologians, great theologians and examiners of the Word. And it is the greatest verse for every person who has become a Christian. Because we know that it's by the grace of God that he gave his only Son. For us, for all, for any person who would receive him. It should be for every Christian to contemplate daily as we rest in his sovereign grace the sacrificial love of God in giving his only begotten Son for us. The great Charles Spurgeon had one of the greatest remarks I've ever heard about John 3:16. We know about Charles Spurgeon. He was one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. Back in his time, word was spread by word of mouth. You didn't have cell phones. You didn't have any kind of phones. People learned about it. But everywhere he would go and preach, they filled the place up. But people were hungry to hear it. But his thought about John 3:16 and what he said about John 3:16 was that he said, John 3:16 might be the greatest of all my volumes of discourse as the sole topic of my life's ministry. When somebody like that says that about a verse in the Bible, that's pretty awesome. It's got to be great. Matthew Henry, he said that in John 3:16 we have the very moral of the whole gospel. Everything about the gospel is contained in John 3:16. It's the very foundation of Reformed theology. Now, some people don't like for you to use Reformed theology, but Reformed theology simply means that we became Reformed. It was about 400 years ago. We celebrated it just a few weeks back when Martin Luther, he was not the only one, but there were many Reformers. But he nailed the 99 Theses on the Pope's door. And he was excommunicated. Because of John 3:16. He understood John 3:16. And before that, the Pope was more powerful than the kings and queens of Europe. Because they had everybody thinking that they had to receive Christ and they could not come to Christ except through them. Then when the Reformation came and Martin Luther and others discovered that they could receive Christ through understanding of the Word themselves. And John 3:16 was the scripture that stood out to them and that they kept in reverence. It is the gospel of salvation. John 3:16. It's God's forgiveness. It is relief from pain. It's emotional relief. It's a desire for healing. Some people tell you, if someone tells you to believe in Christ, Christ died for your sins, and they will be forgiven. John 3:16 explains that to us. Forgiveness is precious for one ultimate reason, and one reason only. You could add a lot of things to it, but this ultimate reason is it. It enables us to enjoy fellowship with God. And that is the only way we can enjoy fellowship with God, by the power of the shed blood of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit coming into our heart. Every person who receives Christ has the Holy Spirit living in their heart. John 3:16 explains that. If you don't want forgiveness for that reason, so you can enjoy the fellowship with God, you won't have it at all. To think like this is to miss the point completely. We seek, in the depths of our heart, we seek a fellowship with our Creator. God made us that way. Look at Adam and Eve. We don't know how long they stayed in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. That's not given to us. But we know that Adam named all the animals and the trees and everything else. And the garden was a perfect place. It was a perfect place for fellowship, and they looked forward to it. Adam and Eve would go and meet with God in the cool of the evening, every evening. They knew Him, and He knew them. God had His purposes to allow Satan to tempt them and for them to fall prey to his temptation. But the great thing about that situation is that He provided a way to come back to fellowship with Him, and that is through Christ. And John 3:16 explains that all. John 3:16 starts out with, "For God." God. He's the Creator of all things. He even created Satan. Satan's the most beautiful angel, was the most beautiful angel that He ever created, according to the Bible. But Satan had a big problem. He wanted to be God. And there's only one God, the great triune God. So God threw him out. He was a real charismatic person, though, a being, can't say person. And he took a third of the angels with him when he fell, according to the scriptures. But God is the creator of all. He's the author of all good. Nothing that was created was not created by him. Satan could not create. He can't create now. God allows him. Whatever he does, God allows it for his own purposes. He does not give a reason why. We don't have to know why. We have to trust that whatever he does is right, because he is God. God so loved the world. The world, in this perspective, is a wasteland of sinners. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the world. I got two scriptures here I'm going to read that explains that just a little bit. It's John 15:9. Says, "The Father hath loved me, and I have loved you. Continue ye in my love." And John 17:9. This explains what Jesus does for us, his own. 17:9. And this is Jesus' own spoken words. He says, "I pray for them." He's talking about his own. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world." You say, well, God loved the world. Yes, God still loves the world. And he provided the way for the world to come to know him. But he did not. He says, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me." You see, God knows all, even those who would come to Christ. Now, we don't ride on that, because we don't know. We're not God. We tell everybody. God has appointed every person that is a Christian that has come to know him to tell others about him and to live their life so others can see Christ in their life. And Jesus prays. There he is. Says, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine." Once we come to know Christ, he comes and the Holy Spirit resides in our heart. He's not going to lose us. We believe once saved, always saved. We can't fall. We can't fall out of being saved. Now, there some denominations don't agree with that. But we as Baptists, we believe that. That's what we believe. That's part of our belief. We also believe that God is in control of all things and knows all things. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. He sees everything. And we're responsible. One day, we're going to have to explain why we did things or why we didn't do things. That's when the drying of the eyes come. the world, a wasteland of sinners. He gave His Son so that He could retrieve His own from this wicked world. God does not have to have a reason for anything that He does. For some things He doesn't have a reason. He kept His own people, His own chosen people in captivity for 400 years. And in the last part of it, they were in slavery. We don't have, He doesn't tell us why He does things. He doesn't have to tell us. But the one thing that He does tell us is wrapped up in John 3:16. It tells us how to be saved, how to come to know Him, how we can be one of His, that Jesus is praying for all the time, making intercession for us all the time. He knows the intent of our heart. When we get in whatever position we get in, if we get down on our knees, if we stand, if we bow, wherever we ever have we pray, God knows that beforehand. And whatever we say, Jesus is there as our intercessory, giving the meaning of what we want to communicate to God Himself. He tells God. All of that is made manifest through John 3:16. It's explained in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Every person has an opportunity. I don't know who they are. God knows. And that's sufficient. There's no person, there's no entity other than God that knows what's going to take place in the next 15 minutes. In the next minute, for that matter. We plan. There's nothing wrong with it. We're supposed to do that. We make preparation. But no one knows when their life's going to end. So the main thing, we can know. We can know about salvation. We don't have to have a doubt. We can know that we have salvation. So now is the time for salvation. If you have felt the call, if you have felt God touch your heart, if you have felt God soften your heart, find somebody to lead you to Christ if you need that. We won't have an invitation. You don't have to have invitations to come to know Christ. But you do have to ask Him to come into your heart. He does not come. If there's someone who has that desire, you can see me, you can see any of the deacons here, you can talk to a person that you know is a Christian and have that assurance and come to know Him as your Savior. You want to go ahead and finish off for us, Keith? Thank you all for your kind attention.